12. Within its bow-shaped mouth, the half-chewed eyes lay, rolling on the surface of its greedy, licking tongue. Those not completely eaten, those which still shone with luster, regarded him as they rolled slightly. They continued to function, although no longer fixed to the bulbed, oozing exterior surface of the head. New eyes, like tiny pale eggs, had already begun to form, he perceived. They clung in clusters. He was seeing it, not a deformed, half-hallucinated pseudo-image, but the actual presence of the underlying substrate entity, which inhabited or somehow managed to lodge itself in this peril world for long periods of time, possibly forever, he realized with a shudder, possibly for the total, absolute duration of its existence. That might be a time span of such magnitude as to smother any rational insight. He intuited that. The thing was old, and it had learned to feed on itself. He wondered how many centuries had passed before it had encountered that method of survival. He wondered what else it had tried first, and what it still resorted to when necessary. There were undoubtedly a number of techniques which it could make use of when pressed. This act of consuming its own sensory apparatus, it appeared to be a reflex act, not even consciously done. By now a mere habit, the creature chewed monotonously, and the luster within the still-watching, half-consumed eyes was extinguished. But already the new ones expanding in clusters against the outer surface of the head had begun to acquire animation. Several, more advanced in development than the others, had in a dim way discovered him, and were with each passing second becoming more alert. Their initial interchange with reality involved him, and the realization of this made him sick with disgust. To be the first object sighted by such semi-autonomous entities. Hoarsely, its voice thickened by the mouthful which it still continued to chew, the creature said,
"Good morning. I have your book for you. Sign here."
One of its pseudopodia convulsed, and its tip lathered in a spasm which, after an interval, fumbled forth a bulky, old-style bound-in boards volume which it placed on a small plastic table before Rockmel. "What book is this?" he demanded presently. His mind, numbed, refused to interfere as his fingers poked haphazardly at the handsome gold-stamped book which the creature had presented him.
"The fundamental reference source in this survey instruction."
The cephalopodic organism answered as it laboriously filled out a long printed form. It made use of two pseudopodia and two writing instruments simultaneously, enormously speeding up the intricate task.
"Dr. Blood's great primary work in the 17th edition."
It swiveled the book to show him the ornate spine.
"The true and complete economic and political history of new colonized land."
It informed him in a severe, dignified tone of voice, as if reproving him for his unfamiliarity with the volume. Or rather, he realized suddenly, as if it assumed that the title would have overpowering influences alone without additional aid. He said then, still nonplussed, to say the least. And he thought, it can't be, but it is. Peril World. Which? Not precisely as it had manifested itself before. This was not blue, because his glimpse of that, ratified by the other weevils, had contained a cyclopsic organism, and this, for all its similarity to the aquatic horror shape, had by reason of its compound multi-eye system a fundamentally different aspect. Could this actually be the authentic underlying reality? He wondered. This macro abomination that resembled nothing ever witnessed by him before. A grotesque monstrosity which seemed, as he watched it devour and consume, to its evident satisfaction, the remainder of its eyes, almost a parody of the aquatic horror shape.
"This book," the creature intoned, "demonstrates beyond any doubt whatsoever that the plan to colonize the 9th planet of the Fomalhaut system is foolish. No such colony as the projected new colonized land can possibly be established. We owe a great debt to Dr. Blood for his complete elucidation of this complex topic."
It giggled then, a wet, slurred, wobbly giggle of delighted mirth. "But the title," he said, "it says,
irony." The creature tittered. "Of course. After all, no such colony exists."
It paused then, contemplatively.
"Or does it?"
He was silent. For some ill-disclosed reason, he felt a deep, abiding ominousness in the query.
"I wonder," the creature said speculatively, "why you don't speak? Is it so difficult a question? There is, of course, that small group of insane fanatics who allege that such a colony in some weird manner or other actually..."
It halted as an ominous shape began, to both its surprise and Rockmel's, to materialize above its head.
"A thing,"
the creature said with resigned weariness.
"And the worst style of thing in the known universe. I detest them. Do you not also, Mr. Ben Applebaum?"
"Yes," Rockmel admitted, because the detested object forming was equally familiar and loathsome to him also. A creditor balloon.
"Oh, there you are!"
The balloon piped at the amorphous mass of living tissue confronting Rockmel. It descended, tropic to the eye-eating creature. Obviously, it had located its target. The eye-eater mumbled in disgust. With its pseudopodia, it batted irritably at the invader.
"You must keep your credits standing up and in good repute!"
The balloon squealed as it bobbed and descended.
"Your entire..."
"Get out of here!"
the eye-eater muttered angrily.
"Mr. Trent,"
the balloon shrilled,
"your debts are odious. A great variety of small businessmen will go into bankruptcy immediately unless you honor your obligations. Don't you have the decency to do so? Everyone took you for a person who honored his obligations, an honorable man who could be trusted. Your assets will be attached through the courts. Mr. Trent, prepare for legal action to be instigated starting immediately. If you don't make at least a token attempt to pay, the entire net worth of Lies Incorporated..."
"I don't own Lies Incorporated anymore,"
the eye-eater broke in gloomily.
"It belongs to Mrs. Trent now, Mrs. Sylvia Trent. I suggest you go and bother her."
"There is no such person as Mrs. Sylvia Trent,"
the creditor balloon said with wrathful condemnation.
"And you know it. Her real name is Freya Holm, and she's your mistress."
"A lie,"
the eye-eater rumbled ominously. Again its pseudopodia whipped viciously, seeking out the agile creditor balloon, which dipped and bobbed barely beyond the flailing reach of the several sucker-impregnated arms.
"As a matter of fact, this gentleman here,"
it indicated Rockmel.
"My understanding is that the lady and this individual are emotionally involved. Miss Holm is, was, whatever, a friend of mine, a very close friend, but hardly my mistress."
The eye-eater looked embarrassed. Rockmel said to it, "You're Matz and Glazer Holiday."
"Yes,"
the eye-eater admitted.
"He took this evil manifestation," the creditor balloon shouted, "to evade us. But as you can see, Mr.—"
It regarded Rockmel as it bobbed and drifted.
"I believe you are familiar to us, too,"
it declared then.
"Are you one of those who has shirked his moral and legal duty? Who has failed to honor his financial obligations? As a matter of fact,"
it drifted very slowly toward Rockmel,
"I think I personally hounded you not too long ago, sir. You are..."
It considered, as within, electronic circuits linked it to its agency's central computer banks.
"Ben Applebaum!"
it shrilled in triumph.
"Zounds! I've caught two deadbeats at the same time!"
"I'm getting out of here,"
the eye-eater who was, or once had been, Matson Glazer Holiday declared. It began to flow off, uniped-wise, getting free of the situation as quickly as possible, and at Rockmail's expense. "Hey," he protested weakly, Don't you go scuttling off, Matson. This is all too damn much. Wait, for God's sake!
Your late father!
The creditor balloon boomed at him, its voice now amplified by the background data supplied it by the central computer upon which it depended.
As of Friday, November 10th, 2014, owed 4 1/3 million postcreds to the noble firm Trails of Hoffman Limited. And as his heir, you, sir, must appear before the Superior Court of Marin County, California, and show just cause as to why you have failed, or if you by a miracle have not failed but possess the due sum in toto, and if by your failure you hope to...
Its resonant voice ceased, because, in approaching Rockmail the better to harass him, it had forgotten about the finely probing pseudopodia of the Eye-Eater. One of the pseudopodia had whipped about the body of the creditor balloon and squeezed.
Gleeb!
The creditor balloon squeaked.
What?
It whooshed as its frail structure crumbled. It sighed, and then wheezed into final silence as the pseudopodium crushed it. Fragments rained down then, a gentle pat-pat of terminal sound. And after that, silence. Thanks, Rockmel said gratefully.
Don't thank me,
the Eye-Eater said in a gloomy voice.
After all, you've got a lot more trouble than that pitiful object. For instance, Rockmel, you've got the illness. Telpor syndrome, right?
Right, he admitted.
So it's SAT for you. Good old therapy by Lupov's psychiatrist. Probably some second-string hick we never ought to have voted money to pay for. Some fnigging quab, right?
The Eye-Eater chuckled in a philosophic fashion.
Well, so it goes. Anyhow, what's with you, Rockmel? Lately you've been, weevil. Part of that class and seeing Paraworld Blue. Is that correct? Yes, correct.
The Eye-Eater nodded sagely.
And it's just ever so much fun, right? With that Sheila Quam as the control these days, and Form 47B hanging around, ready to be utilized as soon as two of you experience the same delusional world.
It chuckled. Or rather, Matson Glazer Holiday chuckled. Rockmel still found it difficult, if not impossible, to recall that the pulpy, massive heap of organic tissue confronting him was Matson. And why this shape? Had the creditor balloon been right? Merely to evade the balloon, it seemed an overly extreme ruse to escape. Frankly, Rockmel was not convinced. He sensed that more, much more, lay below the surface of apparent meaning. Below the surface? Did nothing actual lie at hand? Did everything have to turn out, eventually, to consist of something else entirely? He felt weary and resigned. Evidently, this remained so, whether he liked it or not. Delusional as this might be, obviously it was not acting in conformity to his wishes, not in the slightest. What can you tell me, he said, about Freya? He set himself, braced against the possibility of horrible final news. He waited with cold, stoic anticipation.
Christ's sake, she's fine, the Eye-Eater answered. Nobody got her. It was me they got. Blew me to bits, they did.
But, Rockmel pointed out, you're alive.
Somewhat,
the Eye-Eater sounded disenchanted.
You call this being alive? Well, I guess technically it's being alive. I can move around, eat food, breathe. Maybe, for all I know, I can reproduce myself. Okay, I admit it, I'm alive. Are you satisfied?
Rockmel said hoarsely. You're a Mazdust.
Hell I am!
But my Paraworld, Rockmel said bluntly, is Paraworld Blue. I've seen the aquatic horror shape, Matson. I know from first-hand experience what it looks like. He plunged on then, ruthlessly. And you're it.
Almost.
The Eye-Eater sounded placid. He had not disturbed its potent calm.
But you yourself noticed crucial differences, son. For example, I possess a multitude of compound eyes, High in protein, they often provide me, in time of dire want, an ample diet. As I recently demonstrated, shall I display this neat faculty once more?
It reached then two pseudopodia toward its recently regrown optic organs.
Very tasty,
it intoned, now apparently engrossed in furthering its meal.
Wait a moment, Rockmel said thickly. I find your appetite offensive. For God's sake, wait!
Anything, the eye-eater said obligingly, to please a fellow human being. Oh, we both are, you realize. I am, certainly. After all, I'm the quondam owner of Lies Incorporated, correct? No, I am not a Mazdust. Not one of the primordial inhabitants of Fomalhaut 9. They constitute a low order of organism. I spit on them.
It spat decisively. In its mind, there was no doubt. It detested the Mazdusts.
What I am, it continued, is the living embodiment of humanity, and not some alien creep thing that nature was inclined to spawn on this far-flung, rather degenerate crypto-colony planet. Well, when computer day arrives, all that will be taken care of. You included, you odd life form, you.
It giggled once more.
Now, that book I loaned you, Dr. Blood's book, it seems to me that if you want to catch up on the very vital facts pertaining to new colonized land, you really ought to con it thoroughly. What you want to learn undoubtedly lies within. Read it! Go on!
Its voice trailed off stickily into an indistinct torrent of mumbled amusement, and Rockmel felt a surge of doubt, overwhelming doubt, that this was, at least now, the man he had known as Matson Glazer Holiday. He sensed its innate alienness. It was, beyond doubt, non-human, to say the least. With dignity, he answered, I'll read it when I have time.
But you'll enjoy it, Mr. Ben Applebaum. Not only is the volume educational, but also highly amusing. Let me quote one of Dr. Blood's quite singular thingisms.
Thingisms? Rockmel felt baffled and wary. He had a deep intuition that the thingism, whatever it was, would not be amusing. Not to him, anyhow, or to any human.
Ah, I always enjoyed this one,
the eye-eater intoned, its saliva spilling from its mouth as it writhed with glee.
Consider. Since you are about to read the book, here is thingism number 20, dealing with books. The book business is hidebound.
After a pause, Rockmel said, That's it?
Perhaps you failed to understand. I'll give you another gem. One more particular favorite of mine, and if that fails to move you... Oh, that's a thingism. Listen. The representative of the dryage firm failed to move me. Oh, how is that?
It waited hopefully. Baffled, Rockmel said, I don't get it.
All right.
The eye-eater's tone was now harsh.
Read the book purely for educational purposes, then. So be it. You want to know the origin of this form which I have taken? Well, everyone will take it sooner or later. We all do. This is how we become after we die.
He stared at it.
While you ponder, the eye-eater continued, I'll delight you with a few more thingisms of Dr. Blood's. Oh, this one I always enjoy. The vidphone company let me off the hook. How is that? Or this one. The highway construction truck tore up the street at 40 miles an hour. Or this. I am not in a position to enjoy sexual relations. Or...
Shutting his ears, ignoring the prolix eye-eater, Rockmel examined the book, finding a page at dead random. The text swam, then set into clear focus for him. A zygote formed between the indigenous inhabitants of Fomalhaut 9 and Homo sapiens, gives us evidence of the dominant aspect of the so-called Mazdas genetic inheritance. From the twin radically opposing strains arises what nominally appears to be a pure Mazdast, with the exceptional reorganization of the organs of sight, the cephalopodic entity otherwise manifesting itself intact and in its customary fashion. You mean, Rockmel said, glancing up from the book, stunned, that when you say you're Matson Glazer Holiday, you mean you're an offspring of his and a...
And of a female Mazdast,
the Eye-Eater said calmly.
Read on, Mr. Ben Applebaum. There's much more there to interest you. You'll find that each of the paraworlds is explained. The structure of each is displayed so that the logic constituting each is clearly revealed. Look in the index. Select the paraworld which most interests you.
He turned at once to Paraworld Blue.
And Freya Holm,
the Eye-Eater said, as Rockmel leafed shakily through the volume for the cited page.
You wish to find her. This is your primary motive for coming here to Fomalhaut 9. Possibly there's an entry regarding Miss Holm. Had you thought of that, sir?
Huskily, with disbelief, Rockmel said, You're kidding. It was impossible.
Merely test out what I say. Look under Holm, Freya.
He did so. The index informed him that there existed two entries regarding Freya, one on page 50, the second further in, deep into the book, on page 210. He chose the earlier one first. Freya saw then into the grave and screamed. She ran, and as she ran, struggled to get away. She knew it for what it was, a refined form of nerve gas that... And then her coherent thoughts ceased, and she simply ran.
It details, the Eye-Eater informed him, Miss Holmes' actions on this side of the Telpor Gate, up to the present. If you want to know what became of her, simply read on, and...
It added sourly,
what became of me?
His hands shaking, Rockmel read on. He had now swiftly turned to the later citation on page 210. Before his eyes danced the black bug-like words, details of Freya's fate here at New Colonized Land. He held, read, understood what he had come for. This, as the Eye-Eater said, contained what he wanted. Facing the deformed entity which he had once known as the human wash psychiatrist Dr. Lupov, Freya whispered ashenly, So the transformation is arranged by means of your techniques and all of those damned gadgets you use to keep people thinking along the exact lines you want. And I thought it was a biological sport. I was so completely convinced. She shut her eyes in deep, overpowering fatigue and realized that this was the end. She would go the way of Matt, of Rockmel Ben Applebaum, of... What way? Rockmel demanded, lifting his eyes from the page and confronting the creature before him. You mean, become like you? His body cringed. He retreated physically from even the notion of it, let alone its presence here before him.
All flesh must die,
the Eye-Eater said and giggled. Almost unable to hold on to Dr. Blood's volume, Rockmel once more turned to the index. This time he selected the entry, Ben Applebaum, Rockmel, and again read on, grimly. To the sharp-featured, intent young man beside him, Lupov said, I think we can consider Reconstruct Method 3 to be successful, at least in its initial phase. Jaime Weiss nodded. I agree. And you have the alternate versions of the text available? As the other persons are brought in. He did not take his eyes from the vidscreen. He missed nothing of the activity that, at slowed velocity, passed before the magnetic scanning heads of the replay deck for his and Dr. Lupov's scrutiny.
Several already.
It did not seem urgent to Lupov to have all alternates of the text which Rockmel Ben Applebaum now read available at the same time. After all, certain changes in the other versions might be indicated, depending on which way Ben Applebaum jumped. His reaction to this text, in particular the part dealing with his own death, would come in any moment now. On the small screen, Rockmel Ben Applebaum slowly closed the book, stood uncertainly, and then said to the creature facing him, So that's how I'm going to get knocked off. Like that. Just like that.
More or less,
the eye-eater answered carelessly.
It's a good job,
Jaime Weiss commented with approval.
Yes, Lupov nodded. It will probably function satisfactorily with this Ben Applebaum person, anyhow.
But the girl, he thought, Miss Holm. So far it had failed with her. So far. But that did not indicate for a certainty that it would continue to fail. She had put up a protracted expert struggle, but of course she was a pro, and Ben Applebaum was not. Like the pilot Dosker, Miss Holm knew her business. It would not be easy. Was not at this moment easy, in fact, to recon her mentality by means of a variety of, as she had asserted in the pseudo-spurious text, damned gadgets you use to keep people thinking along the exact lines you want. A good description of our instrumentalities, Lupov reflected. This Weiss person has ability. His composition, this initial variant of the so-called Dr. Blood text, masterful. A powerful weapon in this final vast conflict. Of most interest would be a later response to one of the versions of the text, the reaction by Theodoric Ferry. It was this that both Jaime Weiss and Dr. Lupov looked toward. And it would not be long now. Theodoric Ferry would soon be located where the text could be presented to him. At this moment, Ferry loitered on Terra, but at 6:30, 3 hours from now, Ferry would make a secret trip to new colonized land, one of many, like Sepp von Einem, he crossed back and forth at will. This time, however, he would make a one-way crossing. Theodoric Ferry would never return to Terra. At least, not sane.